That's weird. That's fucking weird. We should probably talk about it. There's a mystery here.
Dude, how about those lizards that I posted on Instagram? I still can't believe they were alive.
Those things? Yeah, how come they were just chilling? I don't get it.
I don't know.
Oh my God.
I'm like upset. Like, I'm upset by it. Like, to this day, I'm still upset by it.
Well, I wonder if... I don't know. They were just like on display. They weren't like being sold or anything. They were just like there.
No, that guy loved them. They were his pets.
Okay.
He touched one of their bellies and he flopped off of the chair, and then he picked him up and put him on his shoulder and he kissed him on its face, which I think is dangerous probably. Oh my. And then he sat him on his little chair. He tucked his little feet in and the lizard just stayed there.
Those lizards must be fed so well that they're like, I'm not going anywhere. I just lay on this chair and this man kisses me and feeds me. And so that's amazing.
Where do I get one of those?
Where was this at that this was happening?
So like across the street from where I work, there's a, not right directly across the street, but like really close to where I work, there's a place called Bob's Big Boy. Like, do you remember in the Austin Powers movies?
No.
So there was this like subplot in the Austin Powers movies where they were going to like launch a rocket out of the statue at Bob's Big Boy.
Oh my God.
And it was this like giant baby statue. So that is real. It's a real restaurant. And in the back of it, it's like a diner style, like drive-in type of setup. And so in the drive-in area, people just bring their old cars and put them on display and just wander around and look at them and hang out, because people love old cars here. And on the back of like this real old truck was just this little display of lizards that were posed like little lounge lizards. And then we started looking at them, and then he touched one and it was alive.
That's very strange. I always worry, like, are they drugged? Is, like, something wrong with them? I don't, like, it's so strange that they would just chill like that.
I know. I don't understand. Maybe I could have Googled it, but instead I'm just like, Ashley, I'm upset. And we're both like, we're confused. And then that's it. That's where we're going to leave it.
That's all. We don't, I mean, we would like answers, but we don't need them. We can move on.
That's, I feel like that is the moral of this podcast.
We'd like some, sure.
We'd like some.
But
we
no.
don't need them.
Yeah. Oh, no? Okay, then. Well, this is That's Weird. It's a podcast about weird shit.
That's right. And I'm Christy.
And I'm Ashley. We're the ones that talk here.
Do you have like updates or news or reviews to share with me?
Almost always.
Oh my God.
Let's do the review like just top so I don't forget.
Hell yeah.
Like fucking usual. Wait. We have a fantastic one this episode from, whoops, I lost it. From Claramente Rubia. This is a review from Spain. So like,
no way.
Extra fancy, extra cool.
Wow.
And the subject is Tina Fey is to Bill Murray what Amy Poehler is to Tom Hanks, answering a question we asked a few episodes ago, like, who is the beloved female version of those men?
Oh my God.
It's so true. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. How did we not think of that?
Yes. Ugh, yeah.
So good.
Okay. Wow.
Here's, we've had a lot of people chime in about that, which I love, because yeah, we had a hard time thinking of pretty much any. So
that's awesome. I love it.
We need more like universally loved female celebrities that aren't torn down for like their bodies or who they're dating or whatever. I digress.
Wait, I'm sorry. In a roundabout way, did you just say we need the entire world to change completely and be better? Because
I mean,
you did.
I think I just, you know, have really high hopes, I guess. Just being optimistic.
Look at you.
All right. So again, this is from Claramente Rubia. And it says, so it's been 2 weeks since I decided to finally make myself listen to this podcast, which had been almost 5 months on my list. And oh, girl, little did I know I was in for some weird gals.
Oh, girl. I love it.
If you love real cute friends hurting each other and themselves with weird stuff. And then it says, okay, so we're hurting ourselves with weird stuff, discussions about alien racist theories, unsolved brain-breaking stories, and maybe one or two occasional RuPaul's Drag Race references. This is your podcast.
I feel like that's very accurate.
Oh my God, like just nailing us.
Wow.
Then it says, P.S. I usually listen to this podcast to fall asleep, but you make everything so interesting that I can't help myself not to give you my 100%. So yeah, the bags under my eyes are your fault and I expect something in compensation.
Oh my God, I love it.
Best review. That was a great review.
That was wonderful.
Amazing. Thank you so much again, Claramente Rubia. I'm sorry if I didn't say that correctly, but we love you. Thank you for that amazing review. I loved it.
Oh my God, speaking of reviews, someone else posted a picture of their pet that listens to us, and it was a chicken.
Yes. Which is awesome.
I love it when people have chickens as pets. I don't know why. Chickens are so like sharp and mean and dumb, but like I love chickens.
But I think they also cuddle and they'll like follow you around. They'll hug you and like
some of them are like fluffy and sweet, I think.
Absolutely, especially that one.
Oh my God. It just looked so cute. Anyway, I just had to point it out because like, I feel like chickens are such weird, like fluffy dinosaur things and I love them.
They are. Birds are dinosaurs, you guys. And they're cool as fuck. I don't want to like touch them or like be around them usually, but I think they're super cool.
I don't want to touch them.
Even though like I love dinosaurs, I don't know. It's weird. We always want to see the... Well, we always want to see pets just in general, but
oh my God, we love pets.
Yeah, if you're a weirdo and you and your pet listen to our podcast, please show us photos. We would love that.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
We're still doing a collaboration with our friend Blake from Loudmouth Threads. So if you haven't, you know, given yourself the gift of a really cool That's Weird tote bag, you should do that. They're only $10, which is awesome. And Blake is super fast about shipping them. You can go to loudmouththreads.bigcartel.com. We also have the link in our bio pretty much everywhere. It's super easy to find. Mm-hmm. And
also shout out to the lady that sent us those like rad ass pins and stuff.
Oh fuck, that's right. Fauna Obscura. Go
Fauna Obscura.
I think she's on Etsy and you can find her on Instagram under that name too, Fauna Obscura. She's in Germany. She makes the most beautiful lapel like enamel pins, and she
they're so cute.
Oh my God, she sent us a bunch. What was yours? Which
my actually, she sent me several, but my favorite one was the Fresno Nightcrawlers.
Yes,
it's just so sweet,
and it's like so nice. It looks just like the quality is kind of insane, and they're so like tastefully done. If that makes sense, they're like gold, and I don't know.
No, they're definitely like hip.
Yeah,
they're cute. I point this out because I want to say, like, thank you, but we've been so, like, blame it on Mercury retrograde, okay, but we've been so, like, busy with other stuff and that kind of thing. Like, I haven't really taken many, like, cute pictures to, like, just let her know that we got them and we love them and, like, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, shout out.
Thank you again. I don't know if I know what her name is, but Fauna Obscura is her business, and... she's fantastic. And yeah, we should take some cute photos and post those so we can credit her. She sent me one that says, ask me about cryptids.
Oh my God, amazing.
It's so perfect. It's like this beautiful circle. It's black and gold. Oh, they're gorgeous. Anyway, thank you for bringing that up because I have completely blanked. Summer has been, my brain's melting.
It's Mercury retrograde. Well, honestly, okay, listen, I don't really like believe in like signs or like astrology. Like it's fun to think about because I'm a mess and I need it.
Of course, I need structure.
But like this last month or so, just everything like everything that's supposed to go wrong during Mercury retrograde has been like low key going wrong. Like it's just like a minor inconvenience that communication is difficult and I'm more tired than normal. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my friend and I have been like, It's Mercury retrograde. But I think that maybe living in LA has made it true or something, because even the people that come into my restaurant are experiencing it.
Damn. When is this shit over? I need it to be soon.
Middle of August, I think.
Oh my God.
All I know. Right. It takes forever.
Jesus. No thanks.
Right. I cannot afford to like just hide in my room for a month and a half while the universe figures its shit out.
Damn. Yeah. What are we going to do? I've already, that explains, like, I have felt so overwhelmed and like tired and just doing too much. But I mean, that's also my fault. But
communication is difficult. You're not supposed to start anything new. A lot of, honestly, like a lot of old people, like not old, super old people, but like people who like I met like a month or two ago and then just kind of forgot about, have like been cycling back into my life. Like, that's what's supposed to happen. So I hate that it's true, because I like to be a skeptic about this shit. But listen, I'm over it. I've just decided I believe in signs. Ashley, I dropped and shattered my mug that said Seattle like right after I moved here. And I was like, it's a sign.
Uh-oh. You're like, well, can't go back now.
I can't go back. I've broken my Seattle mug.
You cut your ties.
I had to buy new mugs.
And to make matters worse, I had to buy new mugs.
I had to buy a whole new one.
Fuck. Just that one.
Representing the home, the new home I'm building here. Like, fuck it. I can't.
Did you actually get like a Los Angeles one?
No, I thought about it. I got a just one from Target that I liked, because I truly like did just shatter both of the mugs that I brought with me. And I was like, I need one now.
I love that you have like one for coffee, one for tea, and you just kind of cycle through them, or
I just had two that I really liked.
Oh, that's, well,
but now they're gone and I have to move on from that with my new Target mug.
Fancy new Target Christy.
Well, I bought one that was a pretty blue color that I liked, and then I kind of hate myself for this. I bought one that had a lid on it that would be great for camping because it was on sale. Also, camping. It says happy wife, happy life. So,
oh no.
But it came with candy.
That's a choice, and you made it. So
I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't on sale.
Understandable. Have we talked about, did we talk about Area 51 last episode? And all the ridiculous memes and the raid, I think, and everything?
We touched on the memes a little bit.
Okay, good. I was like, I don't remember if we mentioned that or not, but it's kind of a big deal at the moment.
Oh my God.
We also did an episode on Area 51 a long time ago, so you should go back and listen to that for some like details, some background, some history about everything that actually goes on out there from someone who literally grew up an hour away from the base.
It's the best.
And just FYI, they do shoot on site. So maybe don't actually go through with it. That's my only.
I thought of you, like, I saw one of the memes was like, person from the future travels backwards. And they're like, oh, this is the year of the Area 51 massacre. And they're like, what?
Yeah, that's what we posted on our Instagram.
Oh, that was us.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm so...
Chrissy's like, see, I saw okay, this really Ashley, funny meme.
Mercury retrograde is real. I don't even know what fucking memes that we are posting on our own Instagram right
Incredible.
Now.
Incredible. To be fair, there were so many Area 51 memes. Oh, really God. Hard to keep track.
There were a lot.
Yeah. I actually don't. I was trying to think of some like interesting or funny like stories from growing up out there. But I don't, I mean, I have a horrible memory anyway, so I don't know, but I'm going to see my family next weekend. So I'm going to ask them if they ever knew anyone that worked there or like dated someone that worked there. I don't know. So
ooh.
I'll report back on our next episode.
Please do.
And that's it. That's all like business catching up, unless you've got something else.
Nah, I'm ready.
Okay, cool. Episode 87. You go first, Christy.
Hell yeah. Okay. So I'm glad that this is at least episode 87, but I'm also pissed at myself that I didn't do this at episode 27, because I'm talking about the 27 Club.
Nice.
Hell yes.
Love this topic.
So I initially actually just thought it was like, you know, just a rumor, or there all that was to it was just like, oh yeah, a bunch of musicians like died at 27.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a little bit more than that.
Yeah, it is. And I think we might have touched on it when we covered Kurt Cobain's death, but definitely haven't done like, because there's like a lot of, anyway, I should talk.
Oh yeah, we totally mentioned it a little bit. Also, if you have things to add, please do.
I don't know if I will. I'm excited to hear about this.
We'll see. Okay, because this is basically just me walking you through me Googling 27 Club and being like, oh shit, there's conspiracy theories around this.
So many.
So, basically, it's the idea that like, actors and artists and musicians, but mostly especially musicians, just sometimes like actors and other famous people get lumped into it as well, but mostly it's musicians like die at the age of 27, like mm-hmm. really famous ones, and like a lot of these deaths are like drug overdoses or death by misadventure, which is like car crashes and drowning, and there's more than one electrocution, by the way.
Oh, sorry, I had to sneeze.
Oh no.
Sorry.
Oh, okay. So tell me about the people are dying out here, Ashley. very famous, respected people are dying out here, and all you can do is sneeze. Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, so yeah, a lot of these people like died. They were either like murdered, or they had some sort of violent death that was untimely, or like a lot of drug overdoses, a lot of suicides as well. Like you talked about Kurt Cobain, and like Kurt Cobain, honestly, because it was like the 90s and he was so like pop culture and like ironic a little bit, like I kind of wonder if he killed himself at 27 on purpose, like because like maybe he was just like, well, I want to kill myself and I'm a famous musician, so I'm going to be part of the club, because it was definitely a cultural phenomenon by then.
Oh, interesting. Okay. That's a hot
also,
take.
Also, exactly. And while I was Googling this, I also saw like apparently his mom made a reference to it and telling him not to join that club.
Oh.
So.
That's sad.
I don't know. But I feel like he probably, like if I was Kurt Cobain and I was like really famous and suicidal at 26, I probably would wait till I was 27.
But if you're that suicidal, I mean, do you have that like much control, I guess? I don't know. To be like, I'm not going to do it right now, even though I really want to.
I mean, I think that there's probably an element for some people to the now we're getting down a rabbit hole of just like, how long can you wait if you're just like holding out hope with suicidal ideation for the exact moment when you're going to plan
right
the age and time that you're going to die?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I feel it's on brand. Let me just put it that way.
It's an interesting theory.
It's on brand, and also Courtney Love didn't murder him. So those are my theories.
Those are Chrissy's hot takes.
Those are my hot takes. Also, like some things. So a lot of the time people like chalk this up to just people being like rich and famous and having like a terrible lifestyle and dying of a drug overdose or other related misadventures. Like it's way easier to die in a car crash if you're on like driving around and you're on drugs and alcohol. Let's be real. So the incidents of car crashes and violent untimely deaths and drownings do make sense with a crowd of people who are basically notorious for partying super hard.
Yeah. Being altered by substances.
Yeah. But some of them are truly just like murders, or like Jimi Hendrix died of asphyxiation because he was choking on his own vomit. So that's like drug related kind of, but it's more of a misadventure. It's not just like he did drugs then he died.
Right.
Leslie Harvey of Stone the Crows, which I don't know who that is, but I guess they're famous enough to like for him to count as part of it. It's like a British man, so maybe people in England know who that is.
I don't know. I've never heard of him.
Anyway, he was electrocuted on stage, and that's how he died at 27.
Yikes. Ooh.
Right?
That's rough.
It's always weird. So something that I keep seeing in the news, honestly, like it's like the third one this year of comedians dying of a heart attack on stage and people just thinking that it's part of the act.
What? That happens like a lot?
It's happened like 3 times this year.
This year?
This year, Ashley.
What? I haven't heard about this at all. That's insane.
Yeah, like one of it. And also they're always like joking about like the two notable ones. Somebody else mentioned online that there was a third one, so I don't know. But two of the ones that I actually like read the article about. The first one, he was literally joking about how he was gonna like die of a heart attack and nobody would notice because they'd think it was a bit on stage. And he died of a heart attack and nobody noticed because they left him up there way too long because they thought that he was doing a bit. And then after right. like 5 minutes, they were like, oh, fuck, he's dead. And they called the... And then the other guy was really young. He was like 36. And it was just like within the last couple of days, he was telling a joke about how he had such bad anxiety. And then he died of a heart attack.
Yikes. That's so... God, that's so weird. Just imagine like being in the audience and you're like, is this real? Like, no, this is a joke. I'm at a, like, no one would ever think that they would be, like, witnessing that.
Honestly, that's the way I want to go.
Yeah? Do you think that this is a possibility for you?
I hope so. I want to be, like, somewhere between 97 and 102. I want to be on stage for some reason. Because they let me do it anyway. And I want to be joking about like being an old woman and how I'll probably have a stroke on stage and die and nobody will notice. And then I'm going to have a stroke on stage and die and nobody's going to notice.
Great.
That's how I want to die. Like I know now. That's how I want to go.
Well, that's good. It's nice. It's always good to have goals, you know?
Doing what you love and accidentally tricking people into not saving your life. That's how I want to die.
That's it. And then you'll be in the news, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be like, that's how she wanted to go, you guys. Doing what she loved. I actually made a joke about that the other day, but it was like while I was getting my nails done. I was like, oh, she died doing what she loved. Getting her nails done.
Getting her nails done. I wish you the best of luck with that.
I mean, in a massage chair? Come on.
Oh, true. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
I feel it.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the, maybe that's the comedian's version of the 27 club, just heart attack on stage club.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't know. But anyway, so it is like statistically significant, like more like it doesn't just feel like a lot of musicians die at 27. Statistically, more famous musicians die at 27 than like other ages. Like it's not, people have done a study where they're like, I mean, so 27 is like the most, but then like following up, it's like also like there's a little blip at like 25 and then like 32. And it's just like,
that's so young. No matter what, that's so young.
I know. Yeah. Don't do drugs, kids, or sell your soul to the devil, which is the next topic.
Interesting.
That I'm rounding up to. Okay. So, so yeah, there are like multiple reasons why that people think that so many people are dying at 27 that are famous. So like I'll give you the lame ones first. One of them is back to astrology. Saturn's return is basically like it's a time in your life. For most people, it comes up at like slightly different times, but you sort of start feeling it at 27 and then it kicks into like full gear, like 28, 29, like basically right now, like really big changes start happening when you're getting to be like your 30s, I guess. I don't know like why astrology wise, but basically it takes like a certain amount of time for Saturn to like fully return to where it was when you were born. And it's like, I think it was like 29 point like 7 years or something like that on average. So you start to feel it when you're 27 and like things in your life get shaken up. And so it's, the theory is just like they got too shook up and then they died.
Yeah, it just goes a little too far for some
people. Just a little too far. Or the other thing is, once you hit your late 20s, you're just too old for so many drugs and it starts to catch up with you.
It's true. By the time you're 30, like your hangover turns into like, well, it goes from being like non-existent to like 3 days.
Oh, God. I mean, that's true. Like I feel like I turned 29 and then since that day, I can't drink more than 2 beers that have like actual flavor to them or I'm going to feel hungover.
Right. You don't have your princess drunkenness anymore.
Not usually, man. I don't know. I lost it. I'm not a princess anymore. I'm a queen. I feel the wrath of a queen when I wake up. Okay.
Oh, fuck.
Anyway.
Yeah. When Christy and I first started hanging out and we would drink too much, she would just like magically, she'd be perfectly fine the next day. Like nothing. Like she didn't drink at all. And it was like, she never remembered even how she got home. It was like a princess just like magically put like in her little bed in the castle and like tucked in. And she woke up feeling magical as always.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, just some background.
Just some background. For those of you that don't know, I used to be fine with it. Now I'm not.
Yikes.
Also, numerology, like 27, 2 plus 7 equals 9, and 9 is the end of a cycle.
Oh, interesting.
Uh-huh. Also, this one's like, I think it's a really big stretch. Like, I think the article that I was reading just needed 5 bullet points instead of 4. But German psychologist Erik Erikson has a theory of like certain ranges of human development, psychological development based on age. From age 18 to 35, you struggle between intimacy and isolation, which makes sense. That's when you're a young adult, you're trying to figure out, like, am I going to get married? Who am I going to spend my life with? Am I okay as a person on my own because my parents aren't taking care of me anymore? And the theory is just like, maybe these sensitive, creative people just couldn't make it.
Oh, well, that's nice.
They just couldn't handle it. I don't know.
Too sensitive for this world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That one's dumb, I think.
Yeah.
But okay. So this is my favorite theory. And I've seen this like a lot. There's kind of a separate thing associated with musicians mostly, selling their soul to the devil to be like famous. And it's, I think, like really, especially for some reason, associated with like blues musicians, this idea of like this like blues guitarist selling his soul to the devil at a crossroads and coming back to town and just being like the best blues guitarist in the world, like, and being famous, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a real guy that is the original guy of that. Like when you think musician selling his soul to the devil, you probably picture like a young black man dressed in like 1930s get up playing like a blues guitar, selling his soul at a crossroads. Like that's alluded to in the movie Oh Brother Where Art Thou, and like just countless other things. It's because basically this guy named Robert Johnson, who's like the father of blues guitar, basically. He's like very iconic for people who like blues and like jazz and like that kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
He just is that. He just is like a young black man in the 1930s with a guitar who was really good at playing the blues. And he had this narrative, like it was just part of his persona, this narrative that he sold his soul to the devil to like get so good at guitar.
Whoa. So he's like the origin story.
Yeah.
Okay.
For real.
Wow.
And he died mysteriously, or possibly of like mistaken strychnine poisoning or something.
Mistaken?
At 27.
Damn. Is he right. Like the first one of the club?
If you look on Wikipedia, there's a couple other because they have an entire grid.
Oh, okay.
There's one, a composer, a pianist, and a conductor who died in 1892.
Whoa.
And then a ragtime musician who died in 1908. But basically, as a pop culture phenomenon and things that people like care about, it started with Robert Johnson for sure.
Wow. Okay.
And so, like, since then, like, so many people have died at 27. So basically, the theory is all of these musicians sold their soul to the devil to become like the level of fame and talent that they had. They got it from selling their soul to the devil. And then when they hit 27, they died because that's when it was time for them to like pay the devil his due, basically.
Oh, that's when he like came to collect.
Mm-hmm. And that's why they all die of like strange and mysterious ways or like violent ends, like car crashes and murders or electrocution. Yeah.
Electrocution's a wild one.
That one is definitely like the devil did that one. I mean, not really. Like, no offense to that guy's family if they're religious. I can say it because I don't really believe that it's true, but still.
Right, right. I feel like there's some weird stuff around Jim Morrison's death too. I think he died of like a heart attack or something in the tub, but there was like some speculation about that one not being.
Oh yeah, that one stood out to me because it was weird because it was like a lot of them, especially in that era, they died of like drug overdose or a car crash or something, and his was like he died of a heart attack.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. And it was just like, why? That's just a weird one, basically. It's like,
well, to have a heart attack that young.
27 is young to have a. So I've tried to like do a quick Google of it, and I'm just getting like a literal Google wall of images of that, the picture of him with his shirt off. Like, that's it. That's all Google will show me.
That's all the devil wants you to see, Christy.
I mean,
that hot bod. Jim Morrison was he was hot as fuck. Let's be real.
Yeah, accurate for sure.
Whew. Yeah.
Whew, okay, Ashley.
I really loved him. And like, you know, you're in high school. I feel like everyone goes through like their classic rock phase or whatever.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah.
Mine was the Doors. So that's all.
Yeah, I agree. Mine was too, because it was also the same time as I was going through the puberty phase where you find out that boys are attractive.
You're like, who's the hottest guy from like classic rock? Oh, that one? Hell yes.
Oh, that one? I love the Doors.
I love the Doors.
I love the Doors.
But also the Doors. There were some like songs from the Doors that you can listen to and you don't even have to do drugs and you feel like you're on drugs. That was like my wholesome way of doing drugs. I just listened to the Doors in high school. Yeah. I'm giving away all my secrets here.
I know, it's true. I don't know. It just wasn't investigated very well, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's like another thing is back in the day, I don't think, I don't know if like cops really, not that they didn't look into it, but they didn't have all of the technology that they have now, all of the information that they go by when they do these kind of investigations now.
Right.
Like, so much has changed since the 70s, 60s, 80s, whatever.
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, I'm trying to think, like, was Heath Ledger 27 when he died? I feel like he was older, but...
Oh, that's a good question. I also, when you were talking about comedians, I looked up Mitch Hedberg, because for some reason I thought he was in the 27 Club, but he was 37 when he died. Heath Ledger
28.
He was 28.
Mm-hmm.
So he just missed it.
He was an actor. So
I saw they added Anton Yelchin.
Oh yeah, so the guy who was the Russian guy in the new Star Trek movies, they added him because first of all, sometimes people put like just any famous person in that club, but also I guess he played an instrument in a rock band for a little while as well.
Oh, interesting.
So like, well, he's famous and he played music.
He's got that little music connection. His death was really sad. Did you read about that?
Oh my God, it's my worst nightmare.
Yeah. Like some, that's one where it's like, oh, it was just this horrific accident. It's like, was it? I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's, yeah. And I feel like that can be said for like almost all of the 27 Club deaths. There's just like that question mark or, I don't know.
Girl, that's why I love the Satan connection, because it's like, wait.
Yeah.
There is something like kind of, I feel a little bit petty and a little bit jealous of being like, you know, no one can be that good and that famous at 27 without help from literally the devil.
Right.
Like, this guy's really good at guitar. No way. He's only 20. He sold his soul to the devil. He's going to be dead in 7 years. Like, that's basically what you're saying.
Yeah, it's all a bit silly. But that's, if there's going to be a conspiracy theory, why not? The devil. It's as deep as you can go.
That's as deep as you can go. I love it. So anyway, that's it in a nutshell. That's pretty much my topic. I just I really liked it. I was trying to do something like Hollywood or something with like weird LA things again, but I was like, famous people, that's close.
Close enough. They've been to LA. that's a really good one, because each death has a bit of conspiracy theory and mystery to it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is your jam.
So true.
Well, I'm going to do some death as well.
Ooh, we keep doing this.
I know.
I feel like it's been 87 episodes, and to this day, we're still like, ooh, it's related in some way.
We always find a way to connect them. And sometimes it's way more than it should be. Like, the coincidence is a little much where it's concerning.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
But I'm actually going to do some true crime.
Ooh.
Which we don't always do. Mm-hmm. But of course, when we do, it has to be unsolved. There's got to be some mystery to it. And that brings me to the Lady of the Dunes.
What?
Have you heard this story at all?
No.
It's wild. I think some of it might click once I get to it, because I think it's been pretty wild, like widely covered. But it just happens to be like the anniversary coming up, and I realized we never did it. Anyway.
Oh.
So this woman, the Lady of the Dunes, has, you know, obviously never been identified, which is why that's how she's referred to as. That didn't make sense. That's why they call her the Lady of the Dunes, basically.
Right, because she doesn't have a name.
Right. And she was found on July 26th, 1974, in the dunes of Provincetown, Massachusetts. She was found laying face down on a beach towel with her hands missing and small piles of pine needles left in their place, which I find to be one of the creepiest details about this case.
What?
Yeah, pine needles. And this gets a lot worse, by the way. So just a little content warning. Obviously, there's murder and there's mutilation and there's some possible sexual assault. So, this is a rough one, so just FYI.
Oh my God.
So her head had nearly been severed from her body. She had nearly been decapitated. And some reports say that there was also blunt force trauma to one side of her head. Others say that there was just like a huge hole created by some mysterious tool, which is...
That's worse.
I know. And it's just like, that's overkill, or it was done like post-mortem. Like, you don't need to do all of these things to a person. And some reports also say that she had like some of her teeth removed.
Ooh.
So it does, and because her hands were also removed, it does seem like whoever killed her was trying to hide her identity, and obviously they were very successful.
Yeah, they did it.
They did it.
They did it.
Congrats, you asshole. So despite all of the trauma and the brutality, there didn't appear to be a struggle. So either she was asleep when it happened, which like you kind of almost hope, because good God, or she knew her attacker and felt comfortable enough to like be that close to them, and they took her by surprise when they attacked her.
Oh no.
And she kind of looked like she was just laying on a blanket sunbathing when she was found. And she was found by like a 12-year-old girl and her dog, which is also awful. Just awful, awful, awful all around.
No.
And the little girl said that it looked, or that she looked like almost like a deer, like a dead deer, because her skin color was so off at that point. She had been out there for a while, like a week, maybe 2 weeks before she was found. So she had started to decompose a bit.
Oh god.
Yeah, like I said, this is a rough one, Christy.
That 12-year-old girl must be so fucked up, like, to this day.
I think she passed away a while back, but yeah, I think I read something like her and her family kind of felt like this person became their responsibility. Like, they wanted to see her identified. They wanted to see her killer, like, you know, taken into custody, like some justice, like, because they found her, she kind of became part of their lives. It's so sad.
Wow.
Yeah. So she was discovered nude with some clothes tucked under her head, like a pillow. Like, they were carefully folded very neatly, which is really weird to do after you almost decapitate someone. Just, you know, pretty strange. They were carefully. Yeah.
Like, I'm just like sitting in silence, like upset.
I know, I'm sorry. there's some interesting like details and theories and leads that were followed. So like there is some like fun mystery to it, but the crime itself and like what happened to her is awful.
Yikes. All right, I'm ready.
Okay. So yeah, her clothes were tucked under her head like a pillow. There was a pair of Wrangler jeans. There was a blue bandana. She had no ID on her of any kind. And it was later discovered that she had some very expensive dental work done. It was referred to as New York style dental work, whatever the fuck that means.
What?
I know. If, back in the day, I guess the dentists all had their styles. I don't know.
That fancy New York style dental work.
Girl, you got
them braces? I know.
Yeah. You got them New York teeth? I don't know.
Oh my God.
So obviously they interviewed like New York City dentists, seeing if they could find their customers, clients, whatever. What are you called when you go to the dentist? Patient?
Patient?
Sure. But unfortunately, that didn't give the police any new leads in identifying this woman. She was thought to be anywhere between 20 and 49 years old, which is kind of a huge gap. They really couldn't, for whatever reason, determine, like, they couldn't narrow that down. So somewhere between 20 and 49 when she died. She had long red or auburn hair. It was in a ponytail at the time. Her toenails were painted pink. There were tire tracks somewhere near the scene, but cops never found like an abandoned car that could have been hers, or a hotel room that she never went back to. She never matched up with any missing persons cases. It's like she appeared out of nowhere. It's truly bizarre.
Oh my God.
And the former Provincetown police chief, am I saying Provincetown right?
I don't know how to say Provincetown.
Okay, well, we're just gonna, it's, well, sometimes, anyway.
I feel like this is such a like Western. She's in Provincetown. They're doing New York style dental work.
Yeah. She had them fancy New York teeth. She was mm-hmm. an out of towner, you know? You never know. So the former Provincetown police chief, his name is James Meads. He explored some pretty wild leads in this case because he was basically grasping for anything at this point. He's trying to find out who this woman was, who ended her life. There was a convict imprisoned in Maine that kept drawing women with their hands missing. So they looked at that guy. Then
what?
Right? That's some creepy shit. Then there was a psychic that called about finding this woman's missing hands. But by the time they got to where the psychic said they were, the site had been excavated. Like at that exact same time. So that destroyed any potential evidence. So that was a weird one.
Did other people know that the psychic told them where to go?
That she told the cops?
Yeah.
Maybe. You never know. Like, so they somehow got tipped off.
Because otherwise, like, the psychic was possibly right.
It's true.
Right?
or she just saw like, oh, there's this construction lot across the street where they're digging some stuff up. I'm going to tell the cops that's where they put those hands. I don't know.
Oh, that kind of excavation.
All I said was the site was excavated. Yeah. So I don't know if it was for...
I was imagining like a place deep in the woods with like a little hole in the ground that someone had dug them up and taken them away because the cops were going to go find them.
Oh, that would be diabolical. And as far as I know, I'd be like, I don't know what the location was or what the other circumstances was around it, but...
I'm definitely letting my imagination run away from me. I'm like, you know, it's definitely going to be somewhere with trees because they had to get the pine needles from somewhere. So they probably got the pine needles from where they buried the hands.
Oh, fuck. Christy, you're figuring it out already. they also looked at a local serial killer named Tony Costa. He was obviously an initial suspect, but he was later eliminated when cops realized that he died 2 months before she was killed. So, yikes on that one. Oh,
okay. Wow.
They also looked at mobster Whitey Bulger. Bulger?
That's another one. Oh, yeah.
I guess that he was like seen with a woman that matched her description around the time that she died. But then like he later went to prison and he never admitted to it or anything. So whatever. And then a woman in Canada randomly told her friends that she remembered growing up seeing her father strangle a woman when they were in Massachusetts around that time.
What?
But police were never able to find this Canadian person and follow up. So that also went cold.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's like so many little things where you're like, oh, this is it. This is it. And it just never pans out.
Wow.
Yeah. There have been a bunch of like composite drawings made of her face. A lot of people have said that she looks like their long lost sister or a woman they used to date that, I don't know, they lost touch with or something.
That ghosted them?
Yeah, basically. but again, nothing ever pans out. Nothing ever matches up. And so this case went cold really quickly. It stayed that way for a long time. She actually was buried fairly quickly in 1974 after she was found. But she's been exhumed several times since then as they've tried to identify her. I guess Massachusetts only has like a handful of unsolved murder cases or unidentified people, I guess, that were killed. And so anytime.
So they're like really focused on this.
Yeah, they really are. They did some like little podcast about it. I really think there's like 8 in their history.
Wow.
They're on top of their shit, I guess. So when it comes to this, they're like, yeah, if you got a clue, like we'll dig her back up, I guess, and we'll see if it fits because gotta find somehow what happened and who she was.
Damn.
Police have performed like facial reconstruction on her. They did that in 1979. Still couldn't find anyone who knew her or couldn't identify her. Then again in 2010, they tried the facial reconstruction a second time. They tested her DNA back in 2000 when that became a thing. Now they're trying to find her relatives using the same DNA system that caught the Golden State Killer. So now they're like hoping, all right, we can't identify her. Let's identify someone she's related to. Like someone gave birth to her. She exists. Like someone has to know.
Wow. Yeah. I wonder what's that's going to. Like, I wonder if it's going to bring something up.
I know. It's kind of like an exciting time for that. I love seeing all these like cold cases solved, all these fucking assholes going to jail finally, even though they're old as shit. Like, at least it's finally something's being done. So I really hope they find someone in her case.
Yeah. Plus, I think, like, honestly, more importantly, it kind of sends a message to people that are like maybe wanting to murder someone. Like, actually, like, even if it takes forever, you'll get caught now. Our technology is pretty good.
Yeah. It's like finally progressed enough that it's like, dude, you have some part of your DNA is going to be like on the crime scene and they will find you, hopefully.
Yeah.
You would think. It is a long shot in her case, though, because she's been dead for a long time and she's been exhumed multiple times at this point. She was embalmed. And I guess like all that stuff can really mess with the sample that they're able to take. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So it's not like a for sure thing, but hopefully something happens with it. The best theory The possible break in the case, the most wild story about it, comes from Joe Hill, who is the son of Stephen King.
What?
Yeah, he got really into this case. In 2015, he read a book about like America's most famous cold cases, and he learned about the Lady of the Dunes. And then he watched the movie Jaws, and he spotted a woman wearing Wrangler jeans and a blue bandana with auburn hair in one of the crowd scenes. And she looked a lot like the drawings that had been released to the media of what this woman looked like. And the movie Jaws was filming near Martha's Vineyard in June of 1974, which is a 3-hour drive away from Provincetown. And so he was
like, "Oh my God,
I know." He's like, "Did I just fucking figure this out?" And like the son of Stephen King of all people. So I don't know. Very, very wild. But that's like the latest big kind of wild new lead theory to go down. Because it's
wow. What?
Like what are the odds? And the film was a huge deal in the area at the time. It was the 70s. They're filming this like massive movie. Lots of locals showed up to be extras and all these like large crowd scenes at the beach. And like, you know, is it the mayor that they all hate? Anyway. So it's like entirely possible that the Lady of the Dunes, whoever she really is, was one of those people in the movie. And millions of people have seen her over and over and over again and don't realize it.
Oh my God.
And unfortunately, extras weren't like tracked as carefully back then. So there's no like details on what that woman's name is, like who that woman is, or like if she was on like a call sheet or if she had to sign in anywhere. Like that hasn't been found. But also, this has been making like the rounds and like the news and stuff and all these message boards. So you think that if someone knew who the extra was and it wasn't the Lady of the Dunes, then they would say, "Oh no, that's like my Aunt Carol. Like she always talks about how she was in Jaws." Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So anyway, that's another thing. But I think,
that's so crazy. I love that so much.
Yeah, it's just a wild kind of twist. It would be a pretty crazy coincidence. Now who's sneezing?
It me.
We're allergic to this podcast.
Oh no.
Oh no. If you do want to see that woman in the movie, I mean, you should watch Jaws all the time, especially in the summer, because it's the best movie. But you can fast forward to 54 minutes and 2 seconds into the film and you will see her.
Wow. 54 minutes and 2 seconds.
Yep. And that's the continued mystery of the unidentified Lady of the Dunes.
Wow.
Shit's wild.
I like that.
I'm glad, Christy. I'm glad you liked it.
I mean,
it's real sad and there's a lot of like gruesome details, but
like, I hate that it happened, but I like that she was in Jaws.
Hopefully. At least then she has some like, I don't know, that just makes there's a bigger element to it and hopefully it will get solved that way.
Yeah.
Something. I don't know. Maybe a listener and also, if that's like, weird, knows who that is. I don't know.
Neat.
Just neat in general.
That's just neat. Yeah. I've not been in Jaws.
Same. We haven't even been in Sharknado, any of them. What's our fucking problem, Christy?
I know.
Why aren't you doing
extra
work?
We don't have enough
work?
Clout. I don't know.
Gotta get that clout.
Gotta do some extra work, I guess.
Yeah. Why aren't you should be an extra in all these shows down in LA?
I don't know. I hear it's not like that fun.
Could you just like stand around all day and make like $20?
Yeah. Plus, like, what if craft services only has like turkey sandwiches or something? Then I can't eat it. I'll be hungry.
You'll starve.
Mm-hmm. I'll starve. I'll starve to death.
Wow. That'd be like our most dramatic extra ever. She starved to death because we serve turkey sandwiches.
Please do an episode about me.
Always.
No, I really truly hope one day I die as an old person on stage joking about how I'm going to die. And then somebody who's doing a weird podcast does a podcast episode about me. The cycle will be complete.
There you go. It's meant to be at this point, sort of. yeah, I'll if I can find just like a clip of her from the movie. I'll put that in my show notes, and I'll put the pictures of her face, the composite anyway. So just in case she looks familiar, as maybe she looks like your mom, and you're like, hey mom, don't you have like a long lost sister? I don't know. I'm trying to solve this. I'm trying to solve this case. Okay.
Hey mom, were you in Jaws?
Hey mom, what the fuck? I also have a weird fact for you.
Oh, you do?
I do indeed. Which will probably gross out most people listening because they're likely doing this thing right now.
Oh no.
Wearing headphones for...
Oh no! I'm wearing headphones!
Wearing headphones for just an hour, like say, listening to an episode of That's Weird, will increase the bacteria in your ear by 700 times. And then the bacteria leads to ear infections and all kinds of gross shit. Ew. I don't know. I thought that was interesting. Because, like, okay, no one really talks about...
My ears feel way dirtier now.
Good. They should.
I hate it.
Like, nobody cleans their headphones. Like, do you... Like, no.
No. I do clean the earbuds, though.
Well, that's good.
Because they go literally inside of your ear.
Exactly. And that's another thing. We're not supposed to put anything inside of our ears. Like, if you ask doctors, they're like, no, don't do that. But we put Q-tips in there. We put headphones in there. We put our fingers in there.
Yeah, that's true.
Think about it. Ears are fucking gross. And also, you should be nice to them so you can still listen to our podcast.
Very true.
Appreciate it.
Well, yikes. Now I got to get these headphones off so that I can, like, clean out my ears with alcohol swabs or something.
Please,
I don't know.
Oh my god, please don't do that either.
Ashley's like, that's not what you're supposed to do.
Also, you can go to a doctor and they'll like clean the wax, the like deep hidden wax. Like sometimes Ooh. People get like clogs in their shit and it's, oh god, it's gross. You can watch videos on YouTube.
I don't know if I will.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, that's our show. That's episode 87.
Ta-da.
There's some death for you, some weird ear stuff. Jaws, uh-huh. Area 51, lizards.
We have everything.
Everything you could ever want and more. Go find our show notes at thatsweird.org and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at thatsweirdcast. Like our Facebook page. Join our Facebook group. You can mm-hmm. support our show on Anchor or on Patreon. Patreon.com/thatsweird. That's where we post minisodes and videos. You can buy tote bags, enamel pins, buttons. They're on Etsy. They're on Loudmouth Threads. If you have a weird story you want to tell us, we would love to do another listener episode for our Patreon. Please send us an email to thatsweirdcast@gmail.com. And then remember to rate, review, subscribe, and stay weird, you guys.
Well said.
I nailed it that time.
Yeah.
Almost like I work in radio. Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
Did you ever go on vacation with your family and hope the dance instructor would fall in love with you?
No, but I did think a guy with a giant boombox playing Peter Gabriel outside my window in the middle of the night meant true and undying love.
Listen to our podcast, Happily Ever Aftermath, where we revisit these movies and it turns out they weren't the best ideas.
What were you thinking?
You can find our podcast, Happily Ever Aftermath, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or your favorite podcatcher.
You can also tweet at us at @HEAMCAST, Heemcast.